Which comes first, our relationships with our partners or our work? Many of us know that perhaps the answer should be our relationships, but is that always true? Today, we aren't holding back as we unpack the pros and cons of having a partner who doesn't get camp and the surprising benefits it can bring to our lives.
Welcome to Beyond Camp, a podcast for summer camp directors and leaders by Go Camp Pro. Beyond Camp explores the intersection of camp and the rest of our lives. Camp professionals know that all aspects of our lives affect our camp experience, and Beyond Camp is here to dive into the messy, brave, and joyous conversations that surround that fact. Check out our show notes at gocamp.pro/beyondcamp.
We here at Go Camp Pro are grateful to the folks at ACA Illinois for their support of our podcasts. The American Camp Association of Illinois is made up of nearly 289,000 members, volunteers, campers, families, and professionals who believe in the power of camp. ACA Illinois works to disrupt the effects of poverty by providing fundamental services for children and families and learning opportunities for camp professionals. Learn more about ACA Illinois by visiting acail.org.
Welcome to Beyond Camp, where we explore the intersection of camp and our lives. For too long, camp professionals have referred to camp as being in a bubble, and we're here to burst that bubble. We know that camp intersects with every aspect of our lives, and we're excited to delve into those. We are your hosts, Rachel Kent. My pronouns are she, her.
And I'm Cassie Bloy. My pronouns are also she, her.
We're here to go beyond camp with you today. As a reminder, please subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening today, and be sure to check out the show notes at gocamp.pro/beyondcamp. Now, let's get started. We all know there's some people in our lives who don't seem to get camp. Perhaps they're the folks who ask us what we do all year long, or they refer to us as camp counselors long after we've told them that we're camp directors. That's just my particular pet peeve. We can record a different episode on that topic. But we all have our strategies for dealing with those folks. But what happens when one of them just so happens to be your spouse? Well, today we have Catherine Gursky here to tell us how she copes and how she's handled this. Kathleen's extensive background brings almost 20 years of experience in camping, outdoor ed, and recreation, the majority of which has been working with special populations. Kathleen likely wouldn't say it herself, but she's an expert level when it comes to topics including social, emotional learning, learning disabilities, creating and supporting diverse staff teams, and building long-term sustainable youth programs. Kathleen's passionate about working with her staff team to ensure that camp and recreation programs evolve to align with the changes in participants' lives, interests, and needs. Kathleen, welcome. We're so excited to have you.
Yeah, thank you. You started that list. I was like, yep, no, I would definitely never tote that flag around. So I was like, wow, I sound really accomplished today. This is great.
Well, you can thank your good friend Cassie for that. And I'm excited to get you to know you a little bit better over the course of this podcast. But we like to start with all of our guests to sort of chat about how you identify, because we've read your bio and it's very impressive. But as you sort of said, how we perceive ourselves is often different than how the world perceives us. So if you'd be so willing, how are some of the ways that you identify?
Well, my pronouns are she, her, and I identify as a straight cis woman. I also identify as a friend, a young philanthropist. I also identify as someone who really likes just going fast, ideally downhill or it, on a board or on a bike, anything where I can kind of get some speed.
I love that. That's fantastic. Yeah. And I love the young philanthropist too. I feel like that's a new one we haven't heard here before. I feel like there's probably another episode tied up in that. So we'll come back to that one, but I'll pass things over to Cassie.
So Kathleen, I know the answer, but nobody else does. Do people in your life get camp?
You know, the people I work with in my camp do. Yeah, my husband does not really get camp. He gets camp, but he doesn't necessarily align with the value proposition of camps the way that camping professionals do. He doesn't completely see, you know, how from what happens on paper to like what's supposed to be happening. He's attended camps a few times. He's not a fan. So I do have folks like that. And the organization I'm in is quite large. And some folks in here really understand camp and have actually worked at my camp before they became, you know, the manager of our psychological assessment and counseling department. And other folks really don't understand camp. And they go, so what do you do the rest of the year? And I'm like, OK, okay, we'll talk about that later.
Let's go back to your husband a little bit more. So he's been to camp a couple times. He sees that it's important, but he just doesn't believe in the values. Like, what is it that really shows, like, defines that, like, he just doesn't see the value and importance of camp in a kid's life?
Yeah, for him, you know, I think part of it too, we were talking about this, him and I, before I came here. He attended day camps and he said, you know, that was out of necessity, not out of any desire. And so, and he goes, and the activities that you want to do at the camp, you have to do other activities that are not preferred, and it's super structured. And so for him, he goes, you know, I get, especially the work that I'm doing with specialized populations. He goes, I understand why, like, your kids kind of need camp. He goes, and I get why other folks go to camp. He's like, but the whole thing to me, he's like, I don't see why everyone should be at camp. I don't think everyone should be at camp. I don't think that that's, you know, the be all end all, the way so many camping professionals do see our industry as a necessity and the be all end all for so much youth development that happens. So he has a different perspective on it.
That's really fascinating to me. Especially when he was talking about, like, his experience with camp, because I think there's a lot to be learned there about the way that we set up camps and the way that we market camps. And that some kids, like, love that structure. And what can we also do to make camp for all those kids, and how can we reimagine it? So that's really fascinating. I feel like he perhaps has more insight into some of the barriers the camping world is facing than he maybe realizes.
I would argue he has more insights into the camping industry than many folks that we would say are the top professionals that we should be using. I would say that he's a lot more direct, so he might not take a camp approach at it, but you know, he also owns his own business now, and it's a very good reminder that all camps, for profit, nonprofit, you know, charitable sector, special populations, like, we're all businesses, and that's, you know, something him and I talk about a lot. Is like, well, it's still a business. So What is your business doing? How does that function? So he sees that side of it more so, as opposed to just being the magical land of like happiness and rainbow and sunshine and children. So
yeah, that's fascinating. Cassie, I apologize. I'm going to go off track here a little bit, and then I'll pass it back to you. But you mentioned that he has more insight into it than a lot of camp professionals. Do you feel like him not getting camp has benefited you as a camp professional in some ways?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. A million ways. I don't even know if we have time to start discussing all of the ways that I think it's benefited me. I don't work crazy hours in the off season. There's a limited amount of time. I take almost all of my vacation in a year, the exception being COVID year. I didn't, but he pushes me to take literally every day of vacation, every sick time, every overtime and lieu hour. He helps me look at staff structure in a different way. Completely helps with camp, because he sees it not just of, well, I need to self-sacrifice for the benefit of the kids and the benefit of the staff and the benefit of my program. He's like, well, that's not a sustainable business model, right? Which the argument can be made that, you know, us working 100 hours a week for months at a time is not a sustainable business model. And so he brings a lot of that. And the other side is, he's not interested in the camp world at all. The only interest he has is when there's a woodworking project he can make for me. That really perks him right up. But otherwise, if he's not building something for camp, his interest level is low, or maybe even non-existent. And so for me, I have a whole definition of myself away from camp. You know, there's a woman who works at camp. Her name is Quack Quack. It's my camp name. And then there's a woman named Kathleen Gursky, and she's married to her husband. If I brought Quack Quack home, oh, she'd just be sent right back out the door. You'd be like, I think you brought her home from the office. She's supposed to live there. You're supposed to live here. So away from work, I have an entire definition of my life and myself that has nothing to do with my career, that is for me very fulfilling. And I have to maintain that to maintain my relationship with my husband, and to also, you know, on some levels, maintain my own sanity. So yeah, for me, it's been hugely beneficial.
This is fascinating. And I feel like my partner's going to listen to this episode and then we're going to have some lengthy discussions about this. So maybe there'll have to be a part two because she's going to want to know the tricks for getting you to take all of your vacation. All right, Cassie, I'll pass things back over to you now.
Okay. Well, I'm not responsible for any counseling in the camping industry that comes out of this podcast. I just like to point that out there. This is just my experience.
We're going to take a hard right turn and go back about, like, I don't know, 5 years.
Okay.
So you met your husband, mm-hmm. and, you know, you were working at camp. He had another life. When did you realize that this dichotomy almost was going to have to be your life?
Whew. Yeah, we met in November. So we met in the off season, which was helpful, I think. Because, well, if we'd met in the on season, we wouldn't have met. Met in the off season. And I think we were together. He was finishing up some school stuff and he was moving back to town. And I said, look, not even going to be in my apartment for the summer. Do you want to move in? Because I won't be here. He was like, what are you talking about? And so that was, I think, for us, the point that we had to have that first conversation of what my life looks like. Really May, June, July, August, and the first kind of half of September in just like the hot time. And I still run programs. I have 11 rec programs running year round right now. But when I have, you know, four programs running simultaneously at three different locations, I'm not really a human. And so I'm some sort of different vapor or beast or something. And so we had to have a really explicit conversation kind of in the first 6 months, because I was like, well, do you want my condo instead of moving back to your parents' place? Because I won't be here anyways. Like, we'll live together for 4 weeks and then I'll essentially be gone. You'll see me for about 36 hours a week. And he was like, what are you talking about? And I think he thought I was like being, you know, exaggerating, lying, whatever. And then he was living in a condo that I by himself that wasn't his. And he was like, oh my gosh, he's like really truly gone. And so that was, I think, the first conversation we had to have around it. And then there was a lot of conversations kind of into August and September of like, is this even sustainable? Is this even what we are happy for our, you know, relationship to look like, where there's just kind of a couple months where I'm at overnight camp and I'm home maybe 36 hours a week at that, if at all. And like, what's that going to look like? And for us, thankful, well, we're married, so thankfully worked out. But for us, it was a really, you know, explicit conversation about what my life looks like and where I'm willing to shift and where I can't. And I remember in the second summer, the conversation we had was more so around, I do this job for the community and for the kids and for the families, and I make the sacrifice, but being with me also means on some level, you're going to have to make a sacrifice around the same time of year. And it's not for our relationship. It's for the rest, for me to do my job to serve the community. Now that shifted again since then. And he was like, okay, I understand. But now it's, you know, it's shift. It, things shift through relationships as it is. And I've scaled back how much I work in the summer, which I'm sure every camping professional is like, well, how'd you figure that one out? But the other side of it too, is like, he's moved in a little bit and I've moved in a little bit. So now the gap of what we're dealing with, of me being gone all the time and him living in my condo alone, is not the same gap. It's we're living in a house that we own together and he has the dog at home and I'm away with camp more and he's more flexible to be able to make it work. But I don't know if that even really answers your question, but you know what? I gave it a bit of a shot. We'll see.
You know, I think it does. And it shows that like, it's not just one moment. It's a multitude of time and conversations and flexibilities on both parts to have this like ongoing relationship with another person when you're living and breathing camp at certain times, but knowing that you have that space to go to after that you don't have to be on in that realm necessarily.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kathleen, I find this fascinating because I worked with my partner for many years at camp. And then the pandemic summer was going to be the year that she, because she's also a teacher, so she was going to step back because she was like, this is too much. I cannot teach year round and then also come to camp and like work, which is like, you know, that's fair. So I think it's really fascinating because it's some good insight. But so we like to say that we like to dig deep on this podcast and really dive into things. So you sort of talked about how you work things out, and I'll let you choose your boundaries around this. But how has this sort of tension around your love of camp and his maybe misunderstanding or not understanding camp, how has it caused problems or tension in your relationship?
Oh, that conversation of you need to sacrifice your life for the community was not like... It wasn't a conversation of this ilk of like, hey, like it's, you know, let's have it. I was, you know, it was more heated for sure. There was definitely more of an escalation in that conversation than being like, what are you talking about that I have to give up part of my life now for your career? Like, what are you even saying? Like, that's a ridiculous request you're making. Yeah, some of the conversations have been tough, and some of, you know, there was one summer I can think of in particular before we got to the place that we're at now, and the place we're at now is, you know, fantastic on so many fronts. But there was a summer where he said, he's like, it's almost harder when you come home. And I was like, what do you mean? And I was, you know, because I was so exhausted, and he, and I was just like so ready to be home with him and the dog and like have like our life pick up for a hot minute. And he goes, you think you're home, but you're not. Your phone is going off. You're answering emails. I get almost no attention, affection, involvement in your life. All you talk about is the kids and your staff and the things you're dealing with. And that's it. It would be easier if you weren't even here, because this isn't even my wife. This is Quack has come home. My wife has not yet come home. So I don't know who this woman is. He goes, and then you're asleep at 7 p.m. because you're exhausted, right? And we only have 36 hours together, like a day and a half. And he's like, and now we've just lost the first half day. So now we just have tomorrow and then you're gone again. And so, and he goes, and tomorrow I know you're going shopping for camp. So where's my wife? And that then was a challenging conversation for me to hear, of being like, oh my gosh, I thought I had done so much. I thought I was home. I thought I was, you know, engaged. And hearing that I wasn't at all, that I was still functioning how I'd always functioned, and thinking that that was somehow enough because I had warned him that that I was going to be busy, was not nearly enough. And when he outlined that for me, and I have to say, unfortunately for me, fortunately for him, it was a conversation of this ilk, like very calm, very supportive, very gentle, because he's quite like that. He's, you know, he was like, you know, it's hard when you're home because it's not really you. And that for me was a huge shift in my life. That I was like, oh my gosh, like I think I'm out here being the partner here and I am not at all. And then the boundaries changed again for what I, when I would work, how I would work, what I would do, what I would offload, what other staff would do, so that I could maintain the relationship that I valued at the same, and that I was going to value it at the same level that I value my relationship with my work.
Wow. That's a lot of self-reflection that has to happen in there as well. And a lot of like, I feel like removing like of defenses to be like, yeah, wow. Like I'm not, I don't know. I often say that, you know, camp or my job is my, like I've my first love in a sense. Like I always put it up way up high, and I'm learning as I grow out. I've talked with other sort of younger camp professionals or camp professionals who are just starting that balance of like relationship and work, that like that has to shift a little bit at some point, that you can't necessarily live for your work all the time. So this has been fascinating, and I'm super stoked to continue this conversation. We're going to take a quick break right here and we'll be right back.
From the people who brought you the Mid-States Camp Conference, ACA Illinois is thrilled to launch their new annual spring conference, Base Camp. This opportunity is geared towards camp pros facing current industry challenges, bringing you the chance to interact with industry experts and network with other camp pros, all right before heading in to the season of summer for camp. Save the date for Friday, April 22nd, 2022, for the first Base Camp Spring Conference, and check out more event info at acail.org.
All right, we're going to dive back in. And I feel like I know the answer, but was there ever a point where you tried to convince him to get it?
Oh, yeah.
Like live and breathe camp.
Yeah, of course I did. Yeah, Cassie, we've met each other. We're friends. Of course I tried to. I am. I think of myself as, you know, a very communicative and persuasive person, and that I could, you know, sell water in the ocean. I think I was like, honey, like you just went to not the right camps. Like that was, you would have done better at this. Would have, you know what? This would have been so, oh my gosh. Yes. 1,000 times I tried that with him. And I want to say 1,000 is an overstatement, but I'm sure if he listens to, well, probably when he listens to this, he'll say, no, that sounds about right. If anything, you undersold it. But no, of course I tried to convince him. And then, you know, cause I thought to me, I was like, oh my gosh, like what, this is going to sound so terrible. I was like, what a poor person that he isn't, like, he doesn't understand the magic and beauty. He's like missing out. And then I realized that his life actually has magic and beauty, and it's in entire own way. And that's fine. And that has just as much value, and that the summers he spent not at camp have given him so many opportunities and joyous moments and moments of growth and development, all those wonderful things, that I don't need to fit his experience into my filter. Like it doesn't need to be like, oh, I'm going to turn his square into a circle so it fits in my circle hole. No, he can have his square peg. I can have my circle hole, and I can say, wow, what a nice square peg. It's so wonderful. I'm so glad that you have that. Check out my square, like my circle peg. It's different, but they're both pegs. They both are wonderful experiences and wonderful and amazing, you know, life events for us. So I tried, it didn't work. But then it's worked out in its own way, I guess.
That's great. It sounds like it's worked out really positively and likely for the benefit of you and your camp. Cause it sounds like you really benefit from his perspective on things. And it sounds like you've come to like a real point of acceptance and peace with this. I hope I'm not misreading that. It sounds like you've really come to acceptance. And I think that's hard, because I think often as camp pros, we really tie our identity to our jobs. And so for me, when someone's like, I don't get camp, or I don't see the value in it, I feel like personally attacked. Like, I haven't been able to communicate the worth of my job or my industry or the place that I love to somebody else so that they can see the value in it. Did you have to work through any of that at all, or do any reflecting around that to come to a place of acceptance?
I think for me, the relationship that I have with my husband, with Kyle, and he's the best in my opinion. I think if anything, it's changed my perspective on the camping industry. I remember there was a moment where it's the same sort of thing where people are like, camp is everything. And then we attach our own identity to that. I remember at the beginning of the pandemic when people were like, the world needs camp now more than ever. And that was something we were hearing from camp professionals, like crazy. The world needs camp now more than ever. And I realized that I had shifted in my understanding of my relationship with my job and with our industry and everything when I said, I could not disagree with you more. What the world needs is science. Because I was like, no, the world doesn't need camp right now. This is a global pandemic. What we need is strong leadership. What we need is good science. What we need is, you know, a game plan on how we're going to collectively like figure things out. We might not actually need camp right now. And that doesn't mean camp's not important and that youth development isn't important. It's just like, well, on the scale of things, if we have people who could be quite ill and passing away and a summer camp, we might need to reevaluate where the priorities are. For me, I think I get far less offended by anyone who's like, what do you even do all year now? Because I'm with my husband. I think before we were together and people were like, oh, so do you like do crafts? And I was like, oh my gosh, I manage a team of 35 people working with kids with specialized needs. I wish I was doing crafts. I would pay anything to be doing crafts at my job. And so I used to get quite offended. And now I'm like, oh no, like this is actually what it is. And then they go, oh, whoa, that's like way different than what I thought you did. And so then I'm not taken aback at all anymore. I'm like, oh, they just don't know. They just have no clue. I'm just going to explain it to them and then they'll have a clue. And then they'll probably think it's pretty interesting on some level, or they typically know someone who has a diagnosis that we serve. And then the conversation kind of shifts and then they're like, wow, that's so great. I wish I knew about that program when I was 8. I wish I'd gone to that program. I wish my niece was in that program. And that ends up being the conversation. So for me, I think I've been lucky that I've been able to move away from that. I don't feel offended at all anymore. But yeah, Kyle's helped with that for sure, because I had to have a different perspective.
This is just so, like, I think this is just a really important conversation, because I feel like there's so many people who work at camp that have partners who are like, yeah, it's fine, go ahead. But I also feel that, like, at some point that those relationships tend to be where the male identifying person is in the camp world and their partner is the female identifying in a more traditional sense. Do you think this conversation would be completely different if you and Kyle switched roles?
Okay. Yes. Let's talk about dismantling the patriarchy, and yes, let's have this conversation. Oh my gosh. Okay. I was not prepared for this question. Oh my gosh. I think if we talk in generalities, it probably would have been. I think I look at partnerships that I know of that are the more traditional. It feels so terrible saying that. I'll say it how I say it, and then we can re-record this part if it sounds terrible. You know, in a lot of heterosexual, sort of male-female partnerships that I see, I would say probably there's a lot more bend from female identifying partners to their male identifying partners. I think it would have probably been a gloss over and they would have been like, sure, like, I'll just do me, you do you. Whereas I think in our, you know, when you flip it on its head, there's maybe some more questions that come out of it. I'm just thinking about the folks that I know are, yeah, gosh, boy, why you have to do this to me? I think so. I think there is something there. I think you're hitting the nail on the head. It's so hard because now we have to go into the patriarchy and feminism and, you know, assigned gender at birth and stereotypical gender roles and what those look like throughout North America. And then how that's going to play into our industry, because there's a whole thing here that I know you two ladies are supported by Women in Camp, which is amazing. Every year, do we not see people going, we need more men at our camp. We need more male staff at our camp. We're short male staff. We can't find any male staff. There's no male staff. And then you look at the leadership across the board of these camps. Dude. And it's like, yes. That's so weird that we're a very female dominated industry. And you look at the leadership and it's all men. Like, what is that? You know what I mean? So I think that there's a lot to be said for this conversation. Maybe those men are more able to go into positions of leadership because they have partners who aren't in the industry. And maybe there's I think there's probably a lot. We can't even use this stuff now because I'm rambling, because there's so much here. But you look at it, it's craziness. Like, you do look at it, it is crazy. Every season it drives me nuts. We need more male staff. That's so weird, because you keep promoting the ones that you have, probably over more competent female staff.
This is beautiful.
There's an entire WIC conference session here. So we'll just send this to the folks at WIC. At the time that we're recording, they're still taking conference proposals. So Kathleen, we'll just shoot you over to them. And
Great. But there's something going on here. You'll have to re-ask the question because I don't even know what the answer is. But there is, I think that there's would be a change. It would be different. I don't know how, but I think it would be, because the patriarchy, unfortunately, is still somewhat alive and well. And yeah, I don't even know if we would have had the conversations that we had.
Yeah. And to be fair, every individual that makes up a partnership is different. And so perhaps if the roles have been flipped in your relationship, maybe the same discussions would have still happened. But I think oftentimes we see a lot of female folks, especially if there's kids involved, take those steps back more willingly, just because that's what society expects of them. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a lot of concern around that. I know that I have friends around the same age who are like, oh, we're thinking of having kids, so I'm just automatically going to take myself out of the running to work full-time in camping because I know that I can't do it. So I think that there's a lot to be said there as well. And we've talked a little bit about this before on the podcast, and I think there'll probably be future episodes about that. But I think the gender roles, society's gender roles for us play a huge part in how our work in life balance occurs and the expectations that we have for that as well.
For sure. And then that opens the whole conversation around the mental load of women in general, that like in these, you know, heterosexual partnerships where women are just expected to take care of more house and home, more organizational stuff, right? All of that side of things. And then I look at my relationship. We knew we were never going to have kids. I wonder how different it would have been if we were going to have kids. Would this have ever even come up? Would have been like, well, once she has kids, who cares? I'm never going to bring it up with her, because I know she won't continue on doing that when she's responsible for a baby.
Yeah, it really changes things. There's a lot to unpack. Yeah. So I appreciate you going with us down this side road on this little tangent, because I think that it's really important. I want to loop back to something you said earlier that really like struck a chord with me, and I think a lot of camp pros. You talked about how your husband insists that you take your vacation time, sick time, et cetera, which is great. Because so many of us don't, and we wear it as like a point of pride that we can suffer more than the person next to us. And we had a little mini pod where we ranted about that, because we feel like it shouldn't be a competition about how tired we can be. Do you feel like he helps you create balance and care for yourself, or do you feel forced into it? Do you feel like it's made you a better camp pro having that balance?
I am forced into it, but I'm a willing participant, and it's always hard for me to leave work. It's very hard for me to leave work. So he will push me that we're going, vacation is coming, you're not well, you're not going in. And then when I'm pushing back, we'll just delay it a couple of days. And he always says, he goes, if it's going to burn down while you're away, it was going to burn down anyways. You would have just been closer to the fire. Like, if it's all going to fall apart, then it's all going to fall apart. What are you going to do? And so for me, the push to take all of them, and I get close, I don't get to all of them because I have too much, but I get close to all of them. You know, it's great. I like leave work early to go to use my extended healthcare benefits with some of my loo time and vacation time and overtime and all of that. And we go on trips for sometimes like 4 to 6 weeks, and, you know, we're gone and disconnected. He now locks me out of my work email, so I don't even have access to my work email while we're on trips or we're away together. And that, I think, I'm so sorry for whoever I'm sending into, you know, some sort of panic attack while they hear that. Cause like, oh my gosh, how would you do that? It's changed my life. It's completely changed my perspective, because I'm actually not engaged with the work anymore. The only thing I'm engaged with is my husband, the trip we're on, whatever activities we're doing, my dog, and the people that are around us. And that is actually bringing me back to be able to handle the high level stress that might be sitting on my desk while things burned in my absence when I get back, because I'm like, no, I actually disengaged. It didn't click in my head the whole time through. I just walked away and then I came back. So definitely forced, but positively forced.
I recommend that forced as well. Like I've done it kind of almost, but like that ability to just disconnect and not feel like you have to be connected, whether you're in camping or not, that ability to turn on those away notifications, close it, and just like push it away is just kind of like a freeing weight that gets lifted. But we need to wrap up because we are running out of time. So Kathleen, one last question. What advice would you give to other folks who find themselves in a similar situation?
I would say, remember that you're both people and that you're choosing to be together. And that if this is someone that you really think you could be having a life with, then don't let your work get in the way of the rest of your life, because work will always be there forever. You'll always be working, but the rest of your life, it's not gonna wait for you the same way work will.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Kathleen. If people have questions, is there a way that they can reach out to you, or if they ever want to chat about life
or about going downhill quickly? Because I personally have many questions.
Yeah, for sure. You can reach out to me at my email, kgurski, G-U-R-S-K-I, at foothillsacademy.org.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Before we like to wrap up every day, we like to talk about self-care in our recharge station. Remembering that self-care is always critical to personal wellness in the good times and the more difficult times. It's something we as camp professionals often struggle with. We want to know how people charge their batteries or what makes you feel inspired. So today, for me, it's maybe not like a way to recharge my batteries or makes me feel inspired, but it makes me feel better at the end of a long day sitting in front of a screen. But I invested in blue light glasses. Some people believe in them and some people are like, that's a pile of crock. I find that I don't get a headache at the end of the day anymore when I have a lot of screen time. And it honestly, they're great. Just don't wear them when you're recording something. Apparently they're really reflective. Well, we want to thank everyone for joining us beyond camp. We hope that you are able to connect and reflect with us as we journey beyond the property lines and bring camp with us wherever we might go. As we wrap up, we want you to be able to reach out and connect with us. So you can reach myself and Rachel at beyondcamp@gocamp.pro. Please remember to check out our show notes at gocamp.pro/beyondcamp. A last round of thank yous first to Kathleen for taking the time today to join us and have some deep and intense conversations that might come across a little hard-hitting for some people. To the team at GoCamp Pro for continuing to hold space for us to have these conversations. To ACA Illinois for their sponsorship and support of this idea. To our producers, Matt and Jotham, for editing anything that we may need corrected later on. And to you, our listeners, your dedication to listening keeps us moving forward. Beyond Camp is part of the GoCamp Pro podcast network. Check out all our other podcasts at gocamp.pro/podcasts. Go well and safely, friends. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. Beyond Camp is a part of GoCamp Pro and the GoCamp Pro podcast network. Find a podcast for camp professionals of every age and stage at gocamp.pro/podcast. Thanks for listening, friends.
Hey, Camp Pros. We love that our industry is built on sharing. In order to foster that spirit, if you've gotten even one good idea from a GoCamp Pro podcast, masterclass, from the Summer Camp Professionals group, a conference, or wherever else, we ask that you give credit where credit is due. That way, it'll encourage camp pros to keep freely sharing their ideas and make the camp industry as a whole better.